It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of October. Can the Utah Jazz of 2021-22 replicate the world champion Milwaukee Bucks of 2021? There are some real similarities. There are some real differences. And Locked On NBA insider Antonio Daniels stops by for his thoughts on Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thank you so much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. And we are here for you every day, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and Locked On Jazz. If you're watching on YouTube, right down there, subscribe, like, set notifications, and know when we're live. Appreciate it if you do that. Well, I got to take care of one piece of bookkeeping because Bryce is here this morning to say good morning. First thing, and I have this all planned out. Good morning, Bryce. Bryce, are you anywhere near Vivint Arena? And would you like, I have three uppers for tonight if you want them. Let's see what Bryce has to say in the chat room to that. How's that? Bryce has said good morning to me every morning of our Locked On Jazz first thing, and so I thought I'd see if I could reward him with either two. I happen to have three uppers tonight for Jazz and the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's get to the topic at hand. The Milwaukee Bucks are the world champs, and it was clear that the Utah Jazz team this year in all their media sessions were given hope. The players were given hope by the Milwaukee Bucks. That the fact that this team that had knocked on the door multiple times and then fell short, broke through to win the championship last year, was giving the Jazz players a lot of confidence and belief that they could do the same thing after the various playoff fails. And I think when you look at the Jazz, really, you're able to couple the Warriors series, the Rockets series together. To me, we really have two playoff series that are our playoff failures, if you want to call it that. I put quotes in it for those of you who are not watching live. And that's the Nuggets and the Clippers. Two series where we were ahead, two series where we could have won. And so I think that's our two. That's where the Bucks were too. The Bucks had had two tremendous playoff failures so far with their loss to the Toronto Raptors and the Kawhi Leonard outplayed Giannis. And then when they faded in the bubble in the midst of the Jacob Blake protest and boycott and just seemed to be a team that lost its kind of focus on basketball, rightfully so. And those were the two things that derailed the Bucks. And Giannis got hurt in that second one. It wasn't the same. The Jazz have been derailed largely by injury, either Bojan Bogdanovic in the bubble or a team breaking them, figuring out how to play them, and the Jazz not having an answer, particularly on the defensive end. So let's look at this for a little while. Let's dive into this and whether or not this is a similarity that should give Jazz hope. So if we back up the Bucks, they were a 500 team with Jason Kidd as their head coach, not particularly well coached at the time, and they were thought of being a kind of sleeping giant in the league that could end up being something. And Mike Budenholzer left Atlanta to take over, and boy, did they ever become something. They jumped up to the third best offensive team in the league, the second best defensive team in the league. They did it with a very specific formula. They did not force turnovers. They sat in their shell defensively. They denied the rim defensively. They did not go after offensive rebounds. They got back. They played in transition. They shot a good deal at threes, and they went 60-22. They had the plus 9.1 differential, very similar to last year's Utah Jazz, one of the best differentials of all time, top 20 differential. And this is the team that then lost in the playoffs to the Toronto Raptors when Kawhi Leonard goes on to hit the shot, and then they win it. The next year, they're the number one seed again. They're even better. They're a 9.8 differential. They have the sixth best offense, the number one defense in the league. Same drop big, put Brooke Lopez in front of the rim. Same don't force turnovers at all. Same don't offensive rebound. Same lot of allowed a lot of threes defensively, which is unique. They did that again last year. And then they lose in the bubble to the Miami Heat. And there's all sorts of circumstances around there. But at the time, it really felt like, wow, they've got like maybe a year, one more shot for Chris Middleton and Giannis together, and they're coming to their end. And then this is what's really interesting to me. You look at last year's 2021 team, and Mike Budenholzer starts to play around with things, try different things, look at different ways to play, change the way they do things, and they're not nearly as good. They go 46 and 26. Their plus minus differential from 9.8 drops all the way to 5.5. They're actually the fifth best team in the league now. Their offense, which was great, goes to 7th. They do add offensive rebounding. Their free throw rate drops. They change a little bit of the way they play offensively. Defensively, they go from number one or two defense league to 10th. And they go through all of this fiddling through the regular season. They end up with the 16th best effective field goal percentage defense, which really isn't very good. They're 23rd in league enforcing turnovers. They don't foul and they grab all the rebounds. And so they adjust a little bit through the year, who they are. They make some alterations. They add PJ Tucker. They switch more 1-5. They play a little less drop big with Robin Lopez, or excuse me, with Brooke Lopez, who's just terrific. I think people forget how good a player he is. He averaged 20 points a game in Brooklyn at one point. So, I mean, he's really an all-star caliber player they have in the middle. They're loaded. They're great. They won a championship. And then frankly, they get a little lucky. Like, everyone wants to talk about Phoenix and their route. But I would also say that the Milwaukee Bucks last year had a little bit of a fortunate route, right? Kyrie Irving and James Harden have all their issues, and they lose. They beat the Bucks on when Kevin Durant's foot doesn't go through the line. They get a Miami team that they just hammer in the first round, 4-0, and a Miami team that I don't think, you know, was quite right in any way. Jimmy Butler was not very good in those playoff series. Goran Dragic is only okay. So that team, you know, give them credit. Let's not take anything away, but that Miami team, and they hammer them. Giannis goes off. They have great balance. They do a lot of things. They beat the Nets 4-3. And then instead of getting, you know, one of those other teams, they get a shorthanded Atlanta team, and then they beat Phoenix. So I do think there's something where a lot of this has to do with who you get on your route and what happens. And you have a 12 or we've talked about this a lot. You have a 12 or 15% chance to win the title, and you just kind of peck at it and peck at it. And Milwaukee, you know, didn't get the coin flip, and this time they did. And so it's not even a coin flip. But there are some things that are similar. So the first thing is just the way they, you know, can the Jazz emulate that? If we take this back, really, when I kind of did this as preparation for the show, the Jazz are a year behind this. The Jazz in the 1920 season, which is the bubble year, have the 10th best offense, the 11th best defense. They're plus 2.5. And then they click in last year. So they haven't had two full years like the Milwaukee Bucks being great. Last year, plus 11.3, nearly 5 points per 100 possessions, better than another team, third best offense, number one defense, don't force turnovers, don't really – they commit too many, they do offensive rebound, they really break through. They're dominantly better than anyone else in the league last year during the regular season. Nearly 5 points better than any other team. The Clippers were the second best, which I think everybody has forgotten. Like, the Clippers were really, really good. And that obviously was what the Jazz ran into. So where can we say are some similarities to what the Bucks had to do and what the Jazz have to do? The paths are semi-similar, right? So that was kind of the first thing I want to present. Like, I kind of actually think the Jazz are still a year behind the Bucks in this process. Do the Jazz have a two-year window? Probably. And so, you know, gosh, it'd be heartbreak again, but That's really the way it kind of looks to me right now, is that they have it, that they're still like a year back from, if you really want the perfect comparison. But there are some similarities, and there's a question of whether Mike Conley's Drew Holiday, and we'll dig in. And there are two areas in which the Jazz really don't match up to that of a championship team, and that they'll have to overcome. So we'll touch on all those things as we continue here on Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day today. Today's show is brought to you by Sweatblock. Doctor created, doctor recommended. Works up to 7 days per use. It is the dry shirt guarantee. Excessive sweating, pitting out in an embarrassing moment, first date, wedding, things that you, where you just don't simply want to make sure that it doesn't happen and have an embarrassing situation out of nowhere. That's where Sweatblock comes in, stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. The easiest way to do it is you shower at night, you get up, you finish your shower, you put on your sweat block, you go to bed, and you're dry for days afterwards. The other is the sweat block antiperspirant wipes, where you know you have a big moment coming up and you realize, uh-oh, I probably need these right now, and you go grab them. And that's, you know, if you're public speaking or something of that nature. You also could have a teenager that's got a little excessive sweating, and that is certainly an embarrassing thing for these kids in a world that's not very great to them right now. So it sounds too good to be true, but literally sweat block, you can use it once or twice a week and it keeps you dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more picking shirts based on which one will hide the sweat better. So go today to sweatblock.com, use the promo code Locked On. You get 20% off at sweatblock.com. That's 20% off at sweatblock.com. Check it out. It'll be a nice addition to your repertoire. Rocky Road Built Bar. They are on fire right now. It's a flash sale right now for Rocky Road Built Bar. They are back. It's another specialty flavor. Apple Almond Crisp was the one I told you about yesterday. Specialty flavor. Cherry Lime is still available. Plus the Strawberry Puffs and the Churro Puffs. So just an incredible array of specialty flavors right now at Built Bar. Go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off. You can get a mix box of 18 or mix and match your flavors. And when you're dealing with Built Bar, you're dealing with 100% delicious and 100% healthy, with just 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, and 4 sugars, plus 17 grams of protein. I'm going to the gym, then heading straight to shoot around. What will I have in my drive down? I will have a Built Bar. Jay Katz, Locked On BYU, Locked On Utah. I saw him yesterday. Just looks great. Goes, Built Bar's done it. Built Bar's why I've lost all the way. Incredible. It's a great thing. BuiltBar.com. Go to Built.com. Promo code LOCKED15 for you. So where are the Jazz and the Bucks similar or not different? The Bucks had some areas that they had to address. One was they needed versatility on defense. They were dropping the big. That was their only way to play. Mike Budenholzer was somewhat beholden to it. Wouldn't alter what he was doing. And on offense, there were just, it was too easy for people to gang up on Giannis, and he just didn't have enough space, and he was playing in transition, running into walls, and they altered their spacing in a lot of ways too. At least that's those are the narratives. So the Jazz, I think they have two things too. I think you probably know where I'm going. So one is on offense, how to deal with 1-5 switching. I thought the Jazz getting the ball so consciously to Rudy the other night is certainly a part of that. When teams switch 1-5, so point guard through center switching, every time someone comes off a pick, there's a switch. The Jazz are the best pick-and-roll defense in the league. They're the best pick-and-roll offense in the league. So what do teams want to do to Utah? They want to get them out of the pick-and-roll. How do you get someone out of the pick-and-roll? The first way is, on defense, you switch every pick. That forces you into isolation. Can the Jazz get better at that? They have not been as good as attacking that. They answered the drop big question of what Houston did to them over the years, and now this is the next hurdle for them, is how do they attack 1-5? It's not a massive hurdle. They're pretty darn good. They can really shoot. They have a lot of different versatile answers to it. They break the paint, get the defense to collapse and kick, and that's really what it comes down to. You still have to have the ball movement, but you've got to get that first action. Rudy being able to pin people and punish people deep is going to be a large part of that. The second one, I think, for the Jazz is how they deal with when someone spaces and goes downhill on them. And that, I think, is the equivalent for the Bucks. The Bucks would get in the playoffs and their drop big system that they were using was not as effective in the playoffs. To some extent, both Mike Budenholzer and Quinn Snyder's systems were playing the numbers. And the one problem when you play the numbers is the numbers are against average. And when you play the best teams in the league, sometimes the numbers don't work as well. because they're better than average. And that's a little bit of what was happening to the Milwaukee Bucks, is they were playing teams that were better than average. They were dropping the big, allowing a lot of threes, and they were banging the threes. The Bucks have always allowed the highest amount of threes of just about any team in the league. I think last year they were 29th. And the Jazz, if I remember correctly, got the Bucks pretty good once last year. I have no game called recall memory, but hopefully I'm right on that. The Jazz got the Bucks pretty good once last year, where they just buried a bunch of threes. And that's what the Bucks kind of banked that you couldn't do. But when it got to the playoffs, teams started to do it. So they had to make some switches, and they had to start changing what they did defensively to be able to play 1 through 5, switching, getting up on people and taking away the threes. For the Jazz, they're going to have to find a way to deal with it. When people isolate Bojan Bogdanović and Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, and our guys aren't great defensively, how do the Jazz cover enough space? And how do they prevent that? We've seen Clarkson and Donovan make a really concerted effort in this preseason, excitingly, to be able to stop some of the ball handlers and things of that sort. And I think that's the first step here of what we're talking about for the Jazz in this, is trying to handle that. So those are kind of where I think there's some other similarities. Market similarity. You're probably not signing free agents. So the Bucks went and made the all-in trade for Jrue Holiday. To some extent, I wonder if that's the Jazz Mike Conley trade, and that last year was year one of this process with Mike Conley after year not quite getting it the first year. And so this is year two with their Jrue Holiday move. We made it a little earlier, but it certainly vaulted us to number one. Theirs actually vaulted them back. They actually got confused and had problems, and they weren't as good with it in this last year, which I think was an interesting one from them. We've already vaulted our offense from 16 2 years ago to third last year. So that's already happened for us. The other one I think is interesting, and this is going to be the question that everyone has about the Jazz all season long, and this is probably one of the rare occasions where the local expert is really hitting exactly what the national pundits are, is do we have that guy? Giannis was unreal in the playoffs, right? He averaged 30 points. He has two iconic moments, the block and the alley-oop, in the history of the NBA for what he did last year in the playoffs, and he carried that team and willed them past. Donovan has showed signs of it. Rudy is that player in the regular season. Donovan's that shown sign in the postseason. Is Donovan ready for that? In his fifth year, is he ready to take some jump and be that player? And then the second one that I think is the biggest hurdle for the Jazz in this conversation is the fact that they have 2 6-foot-1 guards. And when you look at the Bucks, they're super long. You know, depending on who they played the most at what times and what minutes, but they had a 7-1 Brook Lopez who was playing at center for most of their minutes last year. Chris Middleton is playing at times their shooting guard at 6'7". Giannis is 7'1". Jrue Holiday was playing some of their point guard at a big 6'3". Before Dante DiVincenzo got hurt, they were playing Pat Connaughton at 6'5", or Pat Connaughton at 6'5", and Dante DiVincenzo at 6'4". So they were 6'3", 6'5", 6'7", 7'1", 7'1". Or 6'1", 6'1", 6'4", 6'7", 7'1". We're really small. And Rudy Gay is going to add some to that length and versatility for us, but we're really small when comparing to them. And I think that's the other hurdle. So that's kind of my comments on where the similarity is. Before we turn to Antonio Daniels, our NBA Locked On NBA insider on the big stories, let me give you two different comments here or thoughts on the Jazz and the Bucks tonight. It does look like the Bucks are going to play most of their guys. DiVincenzo is still recovering from surgery, and Bobby Portis is out, but they're going to play most of their guys. So this is a really good challenge for the Jazz to execute a game plan. You have to come out with a specific plan on Giannis. The day I knew Giannis was going to be a champion is we played the Milwaukee in preseason. Might have been our first preseason game was after Greece's failures on the international scale. And he came out and just kicked our ass in a preseason game. It was awesome. Like our guys were like, and he came out to play. Like Giannis comes to play. I assume Giannis doesn't have any other gear. That was a purpose night that night for him to prove, had to be 2 years ago because I was there. So to prove that, you know, they were ready and that he was there and he was back and that the fit, you know, he'd been stewing since Greece had lost and was just that kind of amazing commitment to excellence. So a really specific game plan tonight to Giannis and then Chris Middleton in the mid-range game. And where do the Jazz play their bigs? Does Rudy come up a little bit more on Middleton and Holiday, who are good mid-range players? So this is a really good test for the Jazz in regards to game planning. And then the other aspect, I think, is watching the rotation. Hassan Whiteside had a really tough night the other night. What do the Jazz do in that regard? Who do the Bucks play as their backup center with, which in the regular season will be Bobby Portis? But he's not available tonight. So who do they go to as their other big? And do they go to a smaller level to some? Waru has played very, very well for them. Out of Louisville in the preseason so far, he played 30 games for them last year. He's more of a small forward, but they've been using a smaller lineup when they have him on the floor. So we'll see what they do. And do the Jazz play Eric Pascal at all? Excuse me. As a let me have a sip of water. Do they play Eric Pascal at all as a five tonight in that matchup? All right, so those are my thoughts for today. Keep an eye on it. Jared Trent Forrest is out. He's under concussion protocol. Hopefully Jared Butler's back. See if the Jazz go to the 10-man rotation again, in which case, if they go to the 10-man rotation, you'll see both Whiteside and Pascal, unless, you know, if you're dropping Whiteside and putting Pascal in there. We only have nine because we don't have Rudy Gay right now. So you'll see a 10-man rotation would be my guess, maybe, and get Jared Butler in, unless it's Pascal at center and Butler in, and then you're playing a 9-man rotation. But you're certainly not going to, like, quit on Hassan Whiteside. It's just a question of whether or not Pascal will get some of those minutes today. All right, coming up, Antonio Daniels, Locked On NBA Insiders. It's a new feature we've started running. It's called Locked On NBA Insiders. We've got two new things we're launching, the Locked On NBA Insiders. If you're a baseball fan, Gordon Beckham, a 10-year MLB pro, has been doing previews of all our series on our Locked On MLB YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that. Isaiah Stanback, former Super Bowl champion, versatile NFL pro, is doing our NFL breakdowns. You can subscribe to get that at Locked On NFL. And Antonio Daniels is our NBA insider. We've hired the three of those as insiders on major stories for our YouTube coverage. So make sure you grab those along with our anchors. And tonight we're launching our brand new podcast, Locked On Now, which will be really cool during the NBA season because it'll be the local experts recapping the night's action, hosted by one of our anchors, Kim Becker, Daniela Bucker, Daniela Bruce, or Kai Stevens. I can get the names right eventually here. I wasn't really planning to talk about this. So anyway, those are all coming up. Locked On Now is a new podcast. For an NBA fan, it should be super cool. It'll be a rundown of kind of every night's game with the local experts putting it on there. All right, Antonio Daniels coming up here on Locked On Jazz. Thank you for making us the first listen of the day. I am seriously having a tough time with this little thing in my throat. I got a little tickle. I was drinking Athletic Greens, and I think some of the powder is in my throat right now, and I'm having a hard time trying to hold it back, and that's causing me to misspeak and make a fool of myself. All right, let's go to there's two big stories of the day. Antonio Daniels and Daniela Bruce hooked up to talk about it, and let's talk about Ben Simmons' return and how that locker room might react.
Let's get to it right there. I mentioned Ben Simmons and re-entering the locker room. He's back in Philadelphia now. How are his teammates going to accept him? And from your experience, what's going on in that locker room?
Well, from my experience initially, I think it will be a little awkward. I think that's unavoidable. That's unavoidable, right? Because of some of the things that were said in the offseason. But I tell you what, Daniela, locker rooms are very forgiving. They're fragile and they're forgiving, both. You know, and a lot of what was said in the offseason. Now, when you have an opportunity to walk back in that locker room, look guys face to face, look guys eye to eye, and put some things behind you. Guys are different. You know, I understand how we operate out in the world, where it's difficult to forgive somebody and it's difficult to move on. When the goal of a team is for the better good, when you are in the championship fast lane, I think that initially it may be a little awkward, but guys will actually get to that point where they'll make that call. You know, they'll make that call. They'll sit and stay after practice and have conversations, you know, humble conversations. You know what, man, I said some things about you I shouldn't have said, and I want to apologize for that. Guys can put that stuff behind them quickly and move on, get back on the floor, get back to high-fiving each other, communicating with each other, and going to win basketball games. I think when we start talking about how awkward it may feel, when it starts to go above the locker room, when it starts to go to Doc Rivers or it starts to go to Daryl Morey, that's where I think it may feel just a little bit awkward.
Two really interesting points by Antonio Daniels, and something only a guy who's been in the locker rooms can talk about: fragile and forgiving. I think it's very true. I think these locker rooms are very forgiving. We saw it, frankly, whatever the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell thing was, it went away pretty quickly. But at the same time, I do feel like this season, as I watch the Jazz with the two playoff scars, that's a pretty fragile locker room right now. They get along, they're well, but they've got failures. They've got scars for the first time. And do they pick at those scars throughout the season, or do those scars open back up? So I think it's a really interesting point by Antonio Daniels about that. Here's one more thought from AD on Ben Simmons.
Antonio, is there a world where Kyrie ends up on a different team this season? I mean, I know this sounds, it's weird with all the COVID-19 mandates, different states have different rules, but obviously New York has some of the strictest rules. So do you see that as a possibility for him?
You know,
I think I hit the wrong button there. I got the Kyrie story instead of the Ben Simmons story. Instead of that, so my bad. Here's what Antonio had to say.
So let's say Ben Simmons does end up getting traded at some point this season. Mm-hmm. What team do you think he ends up on?
That's a great question as well. I don't think we know because, you know, it seems as if Daryl Morey is waiting on one guy. He seems like he's waiting on one guy. And that one guy, number zero out in Portland. You know, there have been numerous trade offers for Ben Simmons. But Daryl Morey is waiting on that guy. He's waiting on that guy to say, well, you know what? I don't want pennies on the dollar for Ben Simmons. You know, if I have an opportunity to get rid of him, and I do choose to get rid of him, I'm getting rid of him for a guy that is going to put me and even propel me forward. So, you know, you've heard Sacramento. You know, you've heard Portland. But you haven't heard Damian Lillard. It's been more C.J. McCollum and Covington and some of those guys. You know, you've heard San Antonio mentioned. So I don't know. It seems as if Daryl Morey is waiting on that guy. And if so, now the thing to watch is not just the Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia, but also watch because of what Damian Lillard said last year about Portland not having enough. Right now, he is all in. And he said it. Damian Lillard, I am all in here in Portland. But what happens if the Portland Trailblazers don't get off to that start that Damian Lillard would like them to? Are we having a different conversation come November and December about Ben Simmons now for Damian Lillard?
So this is what I think gets interesting on the Simmons thing. So if he comes back and the locker room's forgiving and all those aspects of things, but then it's as though he's back just to be traded. It's a very funky little energy to what's going on. Plus, frankly, he and Joel Embiid don't work very well on the floor together. So every time they have a bad game, I think there's a funky energy there. Then the flip side of this is where I feel like this NBA season, because the COVID year last year just had it very strict. The offseason was kind of dead without a lot of movement. The trade deadline wasn't a lot of movement last year. I feel as though the first 15, 20 games of this NBA season with Simmons lingering, with Lillard's situation, we'll touch on Kyrie in a second, with the salary cap or luxury tax implications of the Jazz, Clippers, and Warriors. Like, I don't want to just ignore the fact that the Jazz are massively in the tax too, but I think the Clippers and Warriors, over $100 million of tax deal bills if they don't start well. So it feels to me that the opening two or three weeks of this season just has massive, massive ramifications. One of those is what happens with Kyrie. Here's what Daniela and Antonio Daniels had to say about what was going on, what's going on with the Nets' decision to tell Kyrie that he just simply couldn't play until he gets vaccinated.
Came out with their COVID-19 vaccine mandate. It was thought that Kyrie Irving, who is not vaccinated, would at least be able to play in the road games. But today's decision that he is not going to be involved with the team at all unless he goes all in and ultimately gets the vaccine. How did we get to this point, Antonio?
Well, Daniela, I think you just said it. The two words that you just said is all in. And I think that's incredibly important because when you were talking about team sports, this isn't tennis. This isn't swimming. This isn't golf. This is not an individual sport. This is a team sport. So what the Brooklyn Nets did is they drew a line in the sand. And they said, you can't have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And the culture that we're living in now, with everything that our country and our world are dealing with, if you go all the way back to 2019, 2020, there's no more walking on the fence. It's time to be all in or all out. You have to choose a side. And in particular, when you're discussing professional sports, you can't have a guy with 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You know, either you're all in or you're all out. Having someone there for 41 games. Like, do you understand how important chemistry is in the NBA as a whole? developing chemistry. You know, you have 6-game homestands. You will be without Kyrie Irving then. You know, it's, and with all due respect to Kyrie Irving, you know, you have, make your decision. Make your decision. That's cool, you know. But the Brooklyn Nets and Sean Marks had to make an executive decision, not in what's best for Kyrie Irving, but in turn, what is best for the other 13 or 14 guys in that locker room.
Antonio Diaz with some strong thoughts. Those are available at Locked On NBA on YouTube. You can get those entire interviews, both those breakdowns from our insiders. Subscribe on Locked On NBA, plus Locked On MLB's got Gordon Beckham, and Locked On NFL's got Isaiah Stanback. You can subscribe to Locked On Jazz right there and also hit for notifications. That wraps us up today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Bryce gets to go to the game today for being a loyal YouTube early viewer. We appreciate it. This is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for making us the first listen. And for your second listen, take a second. The Ultimate NBA Preview is up and out on the Ultimate NBA Preview, on the Ultimate Preview feed, with the preview for the season. So you can go grab that. Plus, Locked On Fantasy Basketball is getting ready for the fantasy season for your second listen. Have a great one. Thanks very much.